reasonably on track this morning. Carla, would you please read the first time certain, item number 127.
Approve financing not to exceed $6,500,000 using tax increment financing from the Central Eastside Urban Renewal Area and federal home funds for the St. Francis Park Apartments at 1136 Southeast Stark Street.
Commissioner Dan Salzman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today is an exciting day as we move forward to approve the development of a new 106-unit affordable housing development in close-in Southeast Portland. The St. Francis Park Apartments is co-sponsored by Home Forward and Caritas Housing Initiatives, I hope I pronounced that correctly, the nonprofit housing development arm of Catholic Charities. The development will focus a portion of its housing on families at risk of homelessness and fleeing domestic violence. The development is on the city block located at Southeast Stark and 11th on land formerly owned by the Catholic Parish of St. Francis of Assisi, the former site of St. Francis Park, a parish that is well known for its commitment to the less fortunate of our city through its year-round feeding program. And most recently, they stepped up when the community needed them to provide emergency shelter during severe winter weather. This has been particularly critical during freezing temperatures when other winter shelters were full. And they have done this with the help of a dedicated crew of volunteers, and we're extremely grateful to the parish for that. The St. Francis of Assisi Parish was instrumental in making this new housing development possible by its decision to sell parish land at very favorable rates and under fair terms. We have a representative from St. Francis, Valeria Chapman, and she's here today, and I hope my colleagues will extend to her thanks for all the work that she and her organization have done to make this possible. And now here to talk more about it are Valeria Chapman of St. Francis, Portland Housing Bureau staff, Mike Andrews of Home Forward, and Rick Burkell, the Executive Director of Catholic Charities. Enough chairs, everybody?
Who's first? And by the way, as you know, the mics move, so you can move the credenza up and down.
Great.
The whole thing physically moves. Pull it towards you.
I'll give you this mic.
I think I'll just frame the issue and get started. Kurt Krieger, for the record, director of the Portland Housing Bureau. This is one of 19 active projects that we're currently implementing with a variety of funding sources. And Barbara Nash is here to speak to the point of, she's the relationship manager with all of our Home Forward projects. We're very excited about the project, which adds 96 units for people between 0 to 60% of income and 10 units deeply subsidized for households from 0 to 30% of median income. And of course, it's in a very, very well located central city location on the central east side. Trusted partners working together. In this instance, the land being owned by the Archdiocese of Portland, co-developed by Caritas, the housing development arm of Catholic Charities, and Home Forward. So we couldn't be more delighted with the strength of our partners in this effort, the location of the property, and the configuration of the property. So Barbara is here to answer questions, but I think I'll let Home Forward and Catholic Charities speak for themselves with respect to their development efforts.
Good morning. My name is Mike Andrews. I'm the Director of Development at Home Forward. On behalf of our board and our executive director, Michael Bonacore, I want to thank you for this investment of $6.5 million in this project. But for the city's investment, this project would not be going forward. We're excited for a variety of reasons to be getting started on this project this month. We're very excited about being able to introduce 106 units of affordable housing in the Buckman neighborhood. As Commissioner Salzman had said, this is a great inner city neighborhood. There's a lot going on. If you've driven around this neighborhood, you've seen a lot of new construction projects. All of them, I believe, are at market rate. There is not a lot, if any, other development of affordable housing occurring in this neighborhood. So the fact that we're able to bring 106 units that will be affordable to low-income people into the Buckman neighborhood is a great thing. I want to take a moment to recognize our partners, First Catholic Charities. We're co-developing this project with them. We couldn't ask for a partner that's more aligned with our values and our mission than Catholic Charities. We have a great working relationship with their staff, and we pursue and think about this project in the same way at a global mission level. So, Rick and Troll, thank you for that. Also want to acknowledge St. Francis Parish and Valerie Chapman. As was said before, St. Francis Parish made a difficult decision to sell this land to us at a rate that was less than they could have received, at a price less than they could have received, if they sold it to any other developer in town. They could have received more money for their parish, but they chose to sell it to us at a price that would make our project work and would allow for affordable housing to be built on this project. So for that, Valerie, thank you. The project will start construction formally this month. If you've been by, you might see that the trees have been fallen and we're getting ready to really get going on the building. And the construction will be complete by May of next year. So within a short period of time, there'll be 106 units in a great new building, along with other amenities that include improvement on Oak Street, which is a previously vacated street between the existing parish and our project, as well as a very nice community garden. So we're excited about this project. We're excited to get started, and want to thank you again for your investment and your trust in us.
Thank you so much. Could you push the button at the base of the microphone? Yeah, there you go.
Thank you so much, commissioners, for your investment in this project and for having us here. I'm Richard Burkell with Catholic Charities, executive director. The $6,500,000 investment in this project is the only thing that allowed it to go forward. It would have been dead in the water without your investment, and we deeply thank you for that. The St. Francis Park Apartments project serves not only the mission of Catholic Charities, but the priorities of the city. It will establish units for people who work in the inner east side area, people moving out of homelessness, and people escaping domestic violence. The project is based on the core standards that we have in Caritas Housing, the dignity and respect of the individuals we serve. There will be on-site case management services for many of the clients. There will be housing assistance for those individuals residing there. It's also evidence in our commitment to build a loo, a Portland loo in the city's right-of-way, right on the project, because we know there are, in fact, folks who will need that service, and we appreciate your participation with us in that work. It's built on a commitment to nature and the environment. We have green building standards, but also a commitment to enhance the vacated Oak Street right-of-way with a Nature in Neighborhoods grant. And finally, equity and social justice. This is achieved through the selection of our development team, MWA Architects, the O'Neill Walsh Community Builders team, and collectively through a very high level of MWESB subcontracting. It's an important social justice statement in this neighborhood as it arises out of what has become a sanctuary park for homeless individuals, and before that, a neighborhood and school park to now stand against the forces of gentrification and high pricing that none of our clients could afford. Our partnership with St. Francis Church, Home Forward, with the Bureau is really just a remarkable set of working arrangements and terrific coming together of a team. And we also want to applaud Valerie Chapman for the 30 years of commitment to St. Francis Dining Hall. And we understand and are committed to serving people in that community going forward. We know this is not a total solution. It is a partial solution. And we will continue to work in that community as a partner, as a resident, with the church to continue to build services. So again, we want to just thank you. We're so grateful for your support and couldn't have done it without you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Chapman, add a few words.
Leader of St. Francis, and I also want to offer my gratitude for the funding the city is putting into this project. St. Francis Parish actually has been aware of a lack of affordable housing and workforce housing in the city for quite a while, and we've been actually working for the last 15 years to find the right partners to build a project that the parish felt good about in our neighborhood. And so we're really excited to finally have that partnership and to be able to go forward with something that we feel good about the land being used for. Now, the lack of a park is a hard thing for everyone, but everything has its time and its season. And we're really excited about this possibility of creating the Oak Street Plaza, which will be open to people to come in and to enjoy. And in this process, our partners did some surveys of people that are users of the park, including the people who come to St. Francis Dining Hall on a regular basis. And their number one concern is a public restroom. So I am really delighted I got to go and talk to the Catholic Charities Board and talk about, you know, toilets and the need that people have. And so that's included in the project. And we're really hopeful that on an ongoing basis, because the city is already set up with maintenance and caring for loos in different places, we're hopeful that the city might include this loo as part of their ongoing maintenance, since the project itself is going to be going to the using the funding to put it into the ground. So it will be there. So
there's going to be a loo in the open space outside?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yes.
And are you buying it from the loo? It's an official loo?
I'm not, you know, I don't understand the loo language that, you know, we're not supposed to use, or a public restroom.
We got a brand name.
Yes. And, you know, even people will say, well, what if the neighborhood changes and things change? You know, people always need a restroom. And so if there is this lovely Oak Street Plaza and a place that people can use, then that will be delightful on an ongoing basis. So we're really excited about it. And again, thank you for funding this project. I think it will be good for the neighborhood and certainly good for the parish as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Portland Parks maintains many of the loos, so I'd be happy to have some further discussions with you about this one.
Thank
see
you.
What partnership we might be able to do.
Great. Thank you.
I would like to add a few words, too. I'm Barbara Shaw, the finance coordinator at the Housing Bureau, and I wanted to talk a little bit about how this project was selected. And this was selected through a competition, a public solicitation, in late 2014. We advertised a certain amount of funding available and received many applications and ideas, project concepts, and through a long process that involved a lot of stakeholders, this project was selected in this form. We're like all affordable housing projects today, it's complex to put the project together. The city funding is one of 10 sources of financing in the project. Some of the other parties that are providing loans or grants or investors' equity are Chase Bank, KeyBank, Community Development Corporation. HUD has played a role here. The state of Oregon has provided funding and played a role, in addition to the parties at the table who are also financial partners as well as involved in the development.
Thanks, Barbara. That completes the invited testimony.
I have a few questions, but let me first see if my colleagues do. Three quick comments. The first is we've received some emails from people in the community who've picked up on the fact that trees have been removed. And I guess the question is, maybe to Mike, when is the earliest time you're going to put up a sign saying future home of whatever, so that people that are curious about what's going on in that what used to be a sort of a public space know that there's a development plan?
That's a great question. We'll have a sign up near the time that we close, which is scheduled for February 29th. So within the month, we'll have a sign up.
But I think when you see the stumps there, just you naturally are curious about what's happening. Commissioner Fritz raised the question of the loos, and I just want to make a comment. The Portland Loo was a innovation of the Portland Water Bureau, and most particularly Commissioner Randy Leonard, and he got the patent for that loo. One of the things we did, though, is we recognized that as it matured as a business opportunity, the city should not be in the business of selling loos. We should structure a deal where we get a fee every time one is sold as a licensing fee. And so we spun off the Lou's, and we said to the manufacturer, we hope you're wildly successful. Well, they're actually selling a lot of Lou's. And the good news for us is that we get a revenue, we get a license fee after every sale. That fee goes to Commissioner Fritz and the Parks Bureau and is used to maintain our inventory of Lou's. So that's the current framework. And so we should acknowledge that Commissioner Leonard pioneered that idea, and I think it's now the right arrangement where we're not in the business of Lou's, but someone else is, and they're doing quite well. The third comment I want to make is that we had a work session this week about the mayor's proposal for camping and how we're going to address homelessness. And those details are still being worked out, but one of the things that I think struck all of us is that we have a crisis that we've identified on our streets, and we have to have a housing strategy that ensures a place for people who've been on our streets to go. And in this tight rental market, there's a diminishing stock of available homes, and there's a very low vacancy rate. Landlords are being very picky. So one of the things that I think you'll hear more from us going forward is the need to make sure that there are units that truly poor people in our community can live in. And when I looked at the pro forma on this, I was heartened by two things. One is that there are a total of 105 units for people at 0 to 60, but within that, there's 10 units set aside for the poorest of the poor, people at 0 to 30, the kinds of folks that Home Forward often provides housing to, people that have no income. And we're not going to solve the crisis on the streets unless we have housing that the most vulnerable people can live in. So I really compliment you for that. And the other thing that jumped out at me on the pro forma, and I was going to ask Mike just to elaborate on this, it says that there'll be 25 units set aside for at-risk households, and you'll be putting project-based Section 8 vouchers. So for the average person watching that, could you tell us what that means?
Sure. So there are 25 units that will be set aside for a combination of women who are escaping domestic violence or women who are in or at risk of homelessness. So we have units that are set aside for them. These are two programs that are run by Catholic Charities. These women can often come with a Section 8 voucher, which they currently have, or some form of short-term rent assistance that would allow them to have housing stability. So you know, we tried very hard, and thank you for acknowledging this, to strike a balance on this project to achieve as much of our mission goals as we can. And as you had mentioned, from Home Forward's perspective, we are very aware of the need for housing for very low-income people. Approximately half of the residents that we house, either through our public housing program or with Section 8, so that's about 3,000 households, are at about 16% of the area median income. So we're fully aware that there's a very low-income population that needs housing. And on a project like this, we're trying to balance a variety of goals and achieve as much of that mission as we can.
Well, and I want to just acknowledge that, you know, it's been an evolving strategy to put more of the Section 8 vouchers into projects. And there's good arguments on both sides of that issue. We've had that debate over time. But when we're seeing the success rate of our Section 8 vouchers in the 70s, because the 70%, because there just isn't a supply of available rental units, we have to think more in terms of dedicated units, either by dedicating a unit or project basing. We have no choice, and I know the Home for Everyone has specifically targeted at-risk women and women facing domestic violence, so this is a real step forward, 25 units plus the 10 at 0 to 30. And I hope as we go forward, Mr. Director, we see more of this, because I think there has to be, we have to connect the crisis on the streets and our strategy with the kind of housing we're investing in. Obviously, we need a range of housing, but where you have an opportunity to make this kind of down payment on where the big need is, I think it's important, and I congratulate you for focusing on that. Commissioner Fritz?
Yes, you did spark another question. Tell me about the accessibility in the units equipped for people with Americans with disabilities, mobility or other challenges.
It's a great question. All of the units are visitable, so it's an elevator building, and all of the units are on one floor. I think our I'm hesitating here because I don't have this number set to memory, but we're achieving the minimum for ADA compliance, which I believe is 10, is it 5%? All the units are visitable, so there's ramps and an elevator in the building.
And are the remaining 95% of the units easily able to be adjusted to be accessible?
Yeah, so they would be adaptable. So things like door widths, turning radiuses within bathrooms and kitchens, all allow for adaptability of units.
Great. That's very, very, very helpful. Thank you.
Great question. So thank you all. Oh, Mr. Director
Krieger. One other thing I'd like to mention, since this is fast-breaking news, you may have seen a press release that was jointly configured by the Bureau. And recall that in the fall budget modification process, you allocated funds to match Home Forward's effort to increase voucher utilization. And since you brought up utilization, I wanted to make sure that you know that our investment was successful. We spent $45,000 of general fund money to match funds from Home Forward, as well as the housing authorities of Clark County, Vancouver, Washington County, and Clackamas County. And HUD did increase the fair market rents by about 33%. So the current utilization rate should go up, and it's a happy event for this project because the revenue that can then be captured from HUD subsidies.
Just so people know, when we talk about utilization rate, we're talking about the success that someone has when they get issued a voucher finding a successful tenancy. If they're unsuccessful, they have to turn it back, and that's obviously bad for the tenant, and we're leaving money on the table.
So the marketing window for all residents throughout the region has just increased, and hopefully people will have a little bit more purchasing power as they negotiate with landlords for those rental units.
Congratulations,
Dan. Great, yeah, congratulations.
And Congressman Blumenauer, thanks for your assist on that. Thank you. Oh, yes.
Could I just add one thing,
please,
just because I don't think that I actually said it or it was said, and that is that of the $6.5 million that is being provided through the city, $3.5 million of that is actually federal home funds that are being allocated to this project, and the remainder is coming from tax increment financing.
Barbara, thanks for mentioning that, because this past year there was a move in the United States Senate to kill the home program. So when people want to know what do you get for the federal investment in housing, this is exactly what we're talking about. So thank you all.
Thank you all.
Carla, do we have anyone who'd like to testify?
Yes, we have three people signed up. Please come on up. Joe Walsh, Lightning Watchdog PBX, and Charles Johnson.
Okay, gentlemen, please come forward. Mr. Walsh, will you kick us off?
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice, and we stand against the city contributing $6.5 million to this project. We don't object to the project. It's none of our business if the Catholic Church wants to build this. You have two entities here. You have the Church of St. Francis, which is a notable, wonderful church. You have Catholic Charities, which is also a very wonderful charity. Then you have the Archdiocese, which is not so good. Over a year ago, we asked why the St. Francis Park was being sold, and we were told that the diocese is out of money because they paid $53 million in settlements because of their pedophile priest. So I ask this question. If you take $6.5 million of taxpayers' money and give it to the Catholic Church, are you in bed with pedophiles? Is that a big leap? $53 million. It was so bad a few years ago that the insurance companies ran away. And the diocese declared bankruptcy on the very victims. And you want to give them $6.5 million. And it's supposed to be a loan. But in your documents, it says you don't expect to be repaid. I have never seen that in writing. When I loan somebody money, I would never put it in writing that you don't have to pay it. That's not a loan, it's a grant. So you're granting $6.5 taxpayers' money into a file that is a pedophile history. That's what you're doing there, Commissioner Salzman. It's really nice to have all these people come up here and tell you how wonderful everything's going to be. This project had nothing to do with the homeless. Affordable housing is a scam. It's 60% of the going rate here. That's $65,000. 60% of that is $40,000. That has nothing to do with the homeless. So, Mr. Fish, don't you dare use the homeless to justify this mess. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Lightning, you're next.
My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. To begin my speech, I would have been in support of this project. The facts that Mr. Walsh brought up as of this time. Again, I believe that the city does need to follow their socially and morally responsible policies that they have in place. If the facts are true on this, as Mr. Walsh has stated, I do not want the city of Portland to fund the money. You have stopped dealing with Walmart on issues of labor, which, as you know, they're closing 250 stores and also laying off 15,000 employees. You made that decision. And on this decision also, if Mr. Walsh's facts are correct, you do not have to fund this money. Now, yes, the project will not happen. But if you stand by your socially and morally responsible policies that you put in place on Walmart before you had a discussion from your committee, then you will follow through on this also. And you will deny this money. You will deny this money. Again, I was going to proceed forward on this project. It's a good project. Everything looks good as far as on the numbers. And again, as Mr. Walsh has stated, the term affordable housing units, current MFI, is always under debate and always can be changed. Again, my position is if you want to lower rents and offer housing, you build more housing. You give more incentives to the developers. You give more bonuses to the developers, more height, more density. Keep them building if you want lower rents. Keep them building if you want to decrease homelessness. Do not impede the developers. And when we're talking about the fossil fuel industry, extraction companies, begin to stop their subsidies and begin to understand, don't fund everything over to the solar systems and those directions, but also fund a percentage to the affordable housing industries as subsidies to keep the developers building more units. We have a tremendous amount of subsidies out there that need to start being directed in affordable housing, creating more jobs, more housing, and will shut the fossil fuel industries down. That's what needs to be done. This type of loan here, again, if these facts are true by Mr. Walsh, do not fund this money. If your socially and morally responsible policy within this city has any meaning and any bearing, thank you.
Thank you, Lightning. Welcome.
Good morning, City Council members. My name is Charles Johnson, and of course we've heard a very important issue added into this conversation, the welfare of victimized children. But if any parish in the Catholic Church has done anything to advance minority rights and protection of the vulnerable, it's St. Francis of Assisi Parish in the Inner East Side. A strong voice for the full role of women in the church, full equality. Unfortunately, the way our economy works out, there's no longer a school associated with that location, but I've visited with the people of St. Francis Parish in worship, and if any community is working hard to increase protection of vulnerable people, be they children or the homeless in this community, it is St. Francis of Assisi Parish. I think that the complex legal structures we develop about real estate development mean that none of this money will help the Archdiocese of Portland resolve its bankruptcy. But there is, as Mr. Fish noted when he raised the issue of why is there no sign saying how wonderful this project is yet, that there is also public perception. So it's good that this is getting, you know, attention, especially to promote the healing of those victims that are covered related to that bankruptcy and settlement. But we obviously need much more than 106 units of affordable housing. We need more projects where a higher percentage is for the 30 and below. And probably this is the best project that has ever come through the city council. There's some stuff going on at the Erickson on Burnside. I don't think the performance for ultra-low income below 30 in that project is as good as this project. It's strange that a grant of monies that were not that are complicated to determine whether they're federal HUD money, city taxpayer money, is an investment that might not get repaid. But regardless, the money is being spent to take poor and needy people and put them inside of homes that they can cherish and maintain, hopefully for a long time. Who knows what happens in this crazy rental market. I'm not going to say for or against whether you should vote in light of what other people have raised, but obviously we need action to get low-income housing going, and I hope that this project will be a catalyst for more conversation and that we can find good nonprofit partners that have a clear, easy-to-understand balance sheet, and we can proceed with more projects that get people inside, especially vulnerable people. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Carla, has anyone else... Excuse me, sir. Carla, has anyone else asked to speak?
This gentleman.
Please. All we need is your name for the record, sir. You have 3 minutes.
My name's Norm Santana. I'm a homeless guy, or formerly, recently homeless guy. You know, and I know it's a little, and it's... You know, a drop in a really big bucket. But, and I also know that, you know, doing something comes with a lot of other stuff that inevitably gets thrown into the mix. But they're rooms, and they got locks, and there's homeless people that need them, and I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay, Carla, would you please call the roll? This is an emergency.
Fritz?
I appreciate the passion and especially Mr. Johnson's balancing comments. The amount of city money is $3 million from tax increment financing. So for 100 units, that's $30,000 per unit for 60 years of affordability for 100 units. That's pretty darn good. Thank you very much, Commissioner Saltzman, and the entire team for working on this project. Other money comes from federal funding and other partners. This is a perfect example of how you need lots of different agencies and nonprofits as well as government to help fund something like this. But it's over 100 units that are going to be affordable at the levels that we most need for 60 years. It's really good use of public money, and I'm glad that it's very clear that we don't expect to be get paid back, that this is an investment in our community. This is exactly what we've been told by the community that we want to, that we should be doing. Just to go back to the tree preservation issue, the lot is zoned EX, which doesn't require any tree preservation or mitigation for the trees. So that's something we might want to look at in the tree code ongoing project that we might finance to do next year. I do appreciate that the strand of trees in the northwest corner has been saved, as far as I've been told, and also that dogwoods are going to be added to create this lovely woodland garden area. I'm interested to look at the financing of the loo and the ongoing maintenance for it. I have some more discussions with the Water Bureau Commissioner about that, and perhaps bring an ask back to council if it's determined that the Parks Bureau should continue to maintain it. Everybody needs to do their part in this, and this... probably something to dislike in every single project that comes before the council, and this one, there's a whole lot of things to like. And thanks to Jasmine Wadsworth on my staff, who looked into all of the details, and Commissioner Saltzman's staff, who answered all our questions ahead of time. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank St. Francis of Assisi Parish for providing this land for this important affordable housing, and remind people of the fact that they did sell it to Home Forward and Caritas at a very favorable rate and under very fair terms. They could have sold it for a lot more to a private market rate developer. Thanks for Home Forward and Caritas for doing this great development. I want to thank the Portland Housing Bureau for the tremendous role they played in shaping this development. And this is, as I said, 106 units of affordable housing, 10 of those units deeply affordable, and helping victims of domestic violence. These are all the types of attributes that we should be supporting as a city, and I'm proud to vote aye.
Novick.
I echo what my colleagues have said. I appreciate Commissioner Fritz pointing out that from the city's perspective, when we've been struggling with what people have called the high cost of affordable housing, this is a bargain. I appreciate everyone's work. I appreciate Commissioner Saltzman's work. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Yes. We have two items today on the Time Certain agenda where we're going to celebrate great partnerships that have produced wonderful results for the community. And we're first taking up this development. And I just want to echo a few things my colleagues have said. First, to St. Francis Church. You know, I've been on the council since 2008, and something that the church I don't think ever gets enough credit for is every time we have a storm, a winter event, or an emergency circumstance, their doors are always open. And they provide shelter from the storm for the most vulnerable people in our community, a place to escape the weather, a warm meal, a loving heart. This is just another example of their splendid record of service to our community. So we thank the St. Francis family. I want to acknowledge Home Forward, particularly the leadership decision and the partnership with the Housing Bureau and Dan to put more Section 8 vouchers into projects. Vouchers work when you have inventory. They don't work so well when there aren't available units. And project basing is, I think, a reasonable compromise. To Catholic Charities and Terrell Anderson, the board chair, and all of our friends, let's acknowledge that this is the development wing of a faith community, wholly separate and apart from whatever view you have of the Archdiocese. And they are bound by federal, state, and local laws, and they have produced some splendid housing in partnership with others in the community. And we're continuing that great tradition, and I think we should be proud of that partnership. To the Housing Bureau that Kurt and Dan are leading so ably, and to Barbara Shaw, well done. We only spend a few minutes at council talking about these projects, but if we had more time, Dan would note that these are very, very hard to pull together. But you make it easy, you make it look easy, so thank you for your service. Dan, I'm delighted that there's such a focus here on the most economically challenged people in our community. And my hope is that we will build on this as we look at future NOFAs and even tax abatements to focus where the big need is. And I'm delighted there's going to be a Lou at that location. And something we should also acknowledge is the Lou will be within walking distance of a park. And one of the things we often hear from people that have children in the park is where do our kids get to relieve themselves? So this is a terrific benefit as well. Most often when we have these kinds of council discussions, we rarely have people here to properly celebrate the moment. It's just a function of our council meetings. And we celebrate democracy in this chamber, and everyone has a chance to be heard. But under normal circumstances, we'd have a large number of people here celebrating this day, and in absence of that, it's the council's obligation to celebrate these kinds of partnerships. So thanks to everybody, and thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for another job well done. Aye. The